Our scripture reading is taken from Hebrews 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost to come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
Once again, morning, happy Sabbath. Good to see everybody here today on this Sabbath day. And I don't know, maybe I mention it too much about being in God's presence, but it is. We have come into God's presence today. This is where he wants to sup with us on the holy Sabbath day. And as brothers and sisters, we have come together that we are in it. I pray that we've all had a good week, and we come together once again to worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we've been given the Holy Spirit for comfort, for conviction, and for doctrine, and I just pray that we allow him to use us where he sees fit to do that. So let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, I just pray this morning that the Holy Spirit be with me as I bring the word of the day, Father, to be with the congregation, Father. And truly, as your children, we rely upon Jesus as our Savior and our Redeemer. And yes, soon we will see him. Soon we will be with him for eternity. Thank you, Father, for such great love that you have for humanity. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yes. How many of you left your gill at home this morning? Or did you bring it with you today? Or don't you have any guilt? We know that a guilty conscience is probably the heaviest load that is being carried by almost everybody in the world today. You know, many people, it drives to analyst couches, you know, they got to seek to find peace, spend all kinds of money, do all kinds of things to get rid of the guilt that they have. But they overlook the cause of this guilt complex that we have. We know it is sin, S-I-N. And it's no longer today looked at as being wrong. We see all the things in the newspapers and on TV, all the people doing all these things, and they all have excuses or can blame it on somebody else. But whatever they do, it's okay, you know. We're told that a thing is wrong only if you think it is wrong. And that's a mentality today that many people have, you know, that there. We can look at Floyd's doctrine, and it claims that true health will come when the inhibitions are removed and the repressive feelings are broken. I don't think that that's really works today. You know, the man that can live in a society today without restraint, without sacrifice, we know is destructive, because if we see a society today, we know that that's not possible. You know, a man by the name of Dr. Ellis some time ago said, no human being should ever be blamed for anything he does. And that seems like what it is. And the more that people are in the limelight, that seems like that. Whatever they do, you know, especially when something is wrong is brought up, you know, it's okay. They haven't done any wrong. They don't see it as wrong, you know. But we know as we read the newspapers and see that, we know that, you know, that's true. You know, today's children, we know that they're not to be repressed, to allow them to do whatever they want, even at an early age. We know that violent human behavior is something that should be punished by incarceration. But we know that there's many people that it's not done with that, you know, but it should be, you know. You know, a person no longer responds to his or her conscience. Many young people don't have a conscience today anymore, or they don't allow it to, you know, work on their lives at all, you know. But we know that because they haven't done any wrong, you know, they look at it and they see that they don't believe they've done any wrong. But we know that the world is filled with guilt. And God is the only one that has the answer to the problems. Those problems, that problem we have, that we can't get rid of it, no more than we can get rid of our shadow. You know, we see that. Our person's mind is so constantly occupied that you don't have any time for this. But you know that we all have to lay down and we look up into the darkness. So we find that time to worry about our guilt and our conscience. I pray that today that the guilt that we do have is relieved through the Lord Jesus Christ, because he said he has taken our guilt upon himself. So we need to rely upon the Lord Jesus Christ to get rid of our guilt. You know, but you can't bear it deep, very deep, because it comes up the next day. You know, and it's none of the things that people try to do to get rid of their guilt today, you know, is the answer, you know. But we know that God has a plan for each and every one of us to get rid of our guilt. And we're going to talk about that today. And it's so simple and so beautiful, that, but we make it all hard. We find all kinds of excuses not to be able to get rid of the guilt that we can if we use the right way. And we know that there's only one way to get rid of that guilt that we have, to be saved from this burden, and that's through God's plan. You know, look at a couple basic things that we have. Number one, you cannot cleanse yourself. We know that. God says, let's look at, and let's go to our scripture meditation for today, Jeremiah 2, verse 22. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 22. For though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thy iniquity is marked before you, saith the Lord God. We know that. But we can also read in Ecclesiastes 12:14, God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. There's nothing that he does not know. And there's two facts that we can't evade. And that is, we can't cleanse ourselves, and there is a coming judgment. You know? And these two facts are the present concern of Jesus, our Savior, right now. And he's taking care of them for us right now while we're here today. You know, and we can look at some of the information, vital information that's given us to us in the Bible. When Jesus ascended from among his disciples, as they stood there on the Mount of Olives in Acts 1, 9 through 11, he was taken up for a specific work. We really all know it. I don't have to go over it, but I'm going today. But long before that, God revealed just what that work of Jesus was to do. And he revealed it to us in symbolic form. And if we could go to Hebrews chapter 8, Hebrews 8, verse 5, the first part. Chapter 8, verse 5. Who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. You know, Paul looked back at the earthly tabernacle, and then he applied the lessons that it taught. For if that was the shadow, what was the real sanctuary of God? And we talk about that. Hebrews, look just before that in verses 1 and 2. You know, Paul states there, we have such a high priest in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle which the Lord pitched, and not man. And what is that high priest doing now? In the heavenly sanctuary. We study this and we study it, and we still need to go over it constantly to be reminded, so we get it down pat in our minds, so that when it's brought up someplace, that we can really tell what we know it happens in the heavenly sanctuary. You know? For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Appear in the presence of God for us, for each one of us. You know? In ancient times, we know the high priest went once a year, passed in into the most holy place. That was where the Ark of God was, or the mercy seat, or the shadow of the symbol of God that was where it was located. And so we know now that Christ is our high priest. And we know that the day when the high priest entered into that was the 10th day of the 7th month. It is called the Day of Atonement or Judgment. This was the only day on which the sanctuary, earthly sanctuary, was cleansed. But the Apostle Paul now says in Hebrews 9, 25 through 27, if you would look there, Hebrews 9, 25 through 27, not yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others, for then must he often have suffered once the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And we know that that judgment is coming for each and every one of us. You know, when Christ died on the cross in Jerusalem, the veil was ripped from top to bottom. You know, and then the yearly sacrifices were not needed anymore. You know, the true Lamb of God had died for each and every one of us. You know, no more blood needed to be spent. And but they did continue these sacrifices for some time after that, because the Jewish people, the leaders, did not understand really what was going. But the shadow was finished for its work. It was no longer needed. You know, long before that, God revealed to Daniel in 8:14, under 2,300 years, and we're talking, or days, we're talking about literal years there, that the sanctuary would be cleansed. And within this period, there's many fascinating prophecies that we continue to read today and to study so that we can learn them and know what they're all about. You know, and we know that we find it from 457 B.C., when the final command to rebuild and restore Jerusalem was given, you know, was that it would be 483 days or years until the Messiah began his work. And we know that Christ filled it to the letter. Nothing was left out for that. And if we use simple arithmetic, we add the 2,300 days to 457, we get it down to 1844, when the sanctuary in heaven, and that was the only one that was left, was to be cleansed. So Daniel was given a vision of that last judgment. The judgment was set and the books were open. We find that in Daniel 7, 9, and 10. You know, in 1844, that judgment of the written record was given. And it's the very work that Christ is now working for us on that. Now to appear in the presence of God for us, as I said, Hebrews 9, 24. We really need to look at that. Christ is representing us now in the heavenly courts. He's standing there in our stead. And the books are going to be going over, you know. And he tells us what is actually written there in the heavenly records. Matthew 12, if we could turn there. Matthew 12. Verses 36 and 37. Matthew 12, 36 and 37. My glasses aren't working today. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words shalt thou be condemned. You know, it's a very solemn thought to see there. And what is our record in heaven? Do you know what your record is? Do I know what my record is in heaven? You know, there's a day of reckoning coming for each and every one of us. And we have to be aware of that, you know. And we can decide what that record is, really, is if we allow the Holy Spirit to work in each one of our lives, you know. But there's other books up there. Do you know them? You know what the other books are? Anybody know what the other books are? Revelation 3:5, the book of life. Malachi 3:16, a book of remembrance. And what's written in these books, you know. The first is recorded the names of all who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior and as representative in heaven. The second one is the things that God considers worth remembering about his children. And God sums it all up in Ecclesiastes. And if we could turn to that. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes 12 verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God knows everything. He knows our lives from the beginning to the end, from the day we're born to the day that we pass away. It is recorded in heaven. And how will we be judged? How will I be judged? Sin is a transgression of the law. We find that out in 1 John 3:4. And we all really know what sin is. I don't believe there's anybody here that does not know what sin is. We find that in chapter 20 of the Exodus that brings to light what form, basis of God's judgment that he is going to be. We know that even the wicked one uses good men to try to obscure the fact that what is God's definition of sin. And he works at it very good. But when we look at the perfect law of God, then it comes apparent to us what the Savior has done for us and is doing for us. A Savior to save us from our sins. We are all sinners. We all need to be saved. And we know that only through the Lord Jesus Christ can we be saved. You know, let's go to the court of heaven and see what's going on there. The heavenly beings take their places. There's a rustle of leaves as your record of life is sought out. There's a chilling moment there when it appears as if all of heaven will be made aware of each one of our sordid past. But we see somebody arising, and it comes to the front, and it's our Savior, none other. And he says, "This is my child. He has accepted my sacrifice for his sins, and my blood has covered the record of his life." Accepted Jesus Christ, accepted his sacrifice, and in the blood of Jesus Christ covers our sins, and it just doesn't cover our sins. They're blotted out. They're wiped out. Yes, they're in the books yet. And one day, finally, they will be thrown into the depths of the sea. But when we confess our sins to God, he forgets them then. You know that. And we know that the wages of sin is death. You know? And we know that that is truth. But death does come to everyone. But it's because of sin that death is here for each one of us. Christ paid the price. He died for each and every one of us. No one was left out from that we might in turn live. And that is to live for him, to live for our Savior and our Redeemer. The opportunities that we're going to have to be with him once that we are with Jesus. You know, we can't even think what they are. We don't even have words to describe what God has prepared for us. But one day soon, we're going to be able to see him. We're going to be able to do that, you know. Wherefore, he is able to save them that come unto God by him. Or Hebrews 7:25. And that we do. Only through Jesus Christ can we come to God. Can we come before the mercy seat? No. To have our past sins forgiven and be ready for him. And now he ever liveth to make intercession for them. You know. He is both our Savior and our intercessor. We have to accept him for God to be able to work with each one of us. And when we accept him and accept his death on the cross, he will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. Micah 7:19. All of our sins thrown into the depths of the sea. And that's how we get rid of guilt. Each one of us has a burden of guilt to get rid of it. We know that we can't ignore it, because it will eat each one of our hearts out. You know? But there's God ways to have our conscience that is clear. That's what we're really working at, to have our conscience clear. And we can only do it through the work that God has done and has performed through Jesus Christ, our Savior. You know? And with that, we have peace, we have happiness, we can have contentment. In the judgment, there's no record of our sins or our wrongs, but Christ's perfect record stands there in our stead. And we pray that when our names come up, we don't know when our names, maybe some of us have had our names come up already. We don't know that. That's why we need to be prepared each day. to be repentant each day and pray that the relationship we have with Jesus is there, Father, and God is able to forgive us and blot out all of our sins. And what will we do? What will His children do? We will love Him. We will love our Savior, Jesus Christ, for what He has done for us. If you love me, keep my commandments. And we know that that is one of the ways, the main way that we show that we do love Christ, that we love our God with all of our hearts, mind, and soul, is that because we keep His commandments. You know, there could be tragedy if when our names come up that we're not found wanting. Find out that we have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. There would be that record there with no one to represent us. No one to have blotted out all of our sins and sordid past. I just pray that that's not so. You know, all the world is at the crossroads, just not us here today. You know, everybody, the whole world is at crossroads. And since 1844, this judgment has been going on, and all will be divided into two classes, those who stand alone and those who have accepted loving sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We know loving obedience is a preparation that we need to have. Loving obedience. We know that this is where Israel got into trouble by disobeying. We just pray that today that we do not make that same mistake. We have to obey the Ten Commandments. We have to obey what God has told us to say in His holy word, you know. And we know that it's absolutely true that there's a double blessing for our obedience. It's the only way to have a clear conscience without guilt. And second, blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Revelation 22:14. Full pardon in Jesus Christ. Just as for you and I both, for accepting it, and what joy it should bring to each one of our hearts. And it should also bring changes to each one of our hearts, to each one of us. So turn pride into humility, selfishness into selflessness, sorrow into joy, and yes, guilt into innocence. We do not have to have that guilt with us anymore. Whosoever therefore will confess me before men, him will I confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him I will also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. Christ representing them. They accepted Him. He forgave them. Their guilt is gone, and His divine power is at work in their heart, preparing them for an eternity with Him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we just pray in Your presence today that we accepted the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We accept Your offer. We give ourselves to You, our all completely to You. Thank You, Father, that through the Lord Jesus Christ we may enter into the heavenly gates to spend eternity with our Savior and our Redeemer, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. In Jesus' precious name, amen.